This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Psachim, tape number 2. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis, or those who have learned through the Masechta. These tapes cover a lot of ground. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly. This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Yehuda Aryeh ben Harav Yaakov Tuvia Halevi. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We are beginning in Gemara Psachim, Daf Hei, Amid Beis. We know that we have two psukim which identify the Isser of possessing chametz on Pesach. Those two psukim are Shivas Yamim Se'or Le'yimatzei Bevateichem, and number 2, the pasuk of La'yira Elecha Se'or. The question is, why do we need both of these psukim? So the Gemara answers, we need Lo Yira'eh to teach us. Shelcha yatareya, aval tareya shalacherim. And we need Lo Yimatzeh to teach us that you can't have chametz in your possession that belongs to a guy, even if the guy hides it. So we end up having two Isurim. Number 1, the Isur of Bal Yira'eh, and number 2, the Isur of Bal Yimatzeh. The key criteria for Bal Yimatzeh is achrayas, responsibility for an item in the event that you lose it. So if it's the kind of thing that a person carefully monitors because he knows that if he loses it, he'll have to pay, that item, if it's chametz, and if it's held in his rishus on Pesach, would create an itzer of bal yimatzeh. The Gemara brings an example to illustrate. People used to have non-Jewish soldiers from the army who stayed by them in their houses. Now, these people knew that if anything belonged to the soldiers was lost, whether it be food or guns, they would have to pay for it. In other words, they had an achrayas to make sure it didn't get lost. Therefore, Rava told them, Be'iru chamira debnei chila, destroy the chametz that belongs to the soldiers in your houses. Because if you don't, since you're responsible for that food, by not destroying it, you'll be over on Bal Yimatzeh. This is good only according to the Man D'Yomar, who is Reb Shimon, who holds Dover HaGerem L'Mamon is Kamamon Dami. The presence of an object saves a person from a Chiyuv Tashlumin, even if it doesn't actually belong to him. So we consider the item like being in his Rishus. But according to the Rabbanan, who holds Dover HaGerem L'Mamon is Lav Kamamon Dami, how are you Chayav for La Yimatzeh? So the Gemara answers, that's what the Pasuk is for. The special Pasuk of La Yimatzeh teaches you that we're Chayav in this kind of a case. Dafav. We all know the chiyuv of Bukhar Behema is only if the animal belongs to a Jew. So the question is there a chiyuv of Bukhar Behema? If a Jew has a herd of behemas, that he has a chiyuv to give some of the behemas to the king as a tax. In other words, the herd is partially b'shutfis hagai. So we answer, since the Jew has no other option here, he becomes a shutuf with the guy. And therefore, since it's b'shutfis hagai, we have a special patur of Bukhar Behema since he's b'shutfis hagai. We contrast this, though, for example, with challah. Challah, we say, it's always chayef, irregardless of whether it's a shutfus agai, not a shutfus agai. Normally, we know that challah is only chayef if it's a Jew. But if there's a shutfus agai, challah, you're chayef in anyway. Then the Gemara says, if a guy brings chametz into a Jew's house, and the Jew is yichud lai bayis, in other words, the Jew sets aside special place for it, as long as the Jew wasn't makabal achrayas, he's not chayef for bal yimatzeh. Omarav. Hamaitzei chametz bebeisei beyantiv. If a person finds chametz in his house on yantiv, kaifelav esakli. He's supposed to cover it up with a kli. Rashi here says that there's really no problem of bal yimatzeh. We would have a hamni if there's a problem of bal yimatzeh. We say that there's no problem here because since before yantiv he was mevatelit, therefore he can be over on bal yimatzeh. Taisvis here says even if he wasn't mevatelit before yantiv, there's still no heter to pick it up on yantiv because there is a muktza machmas iser. We know that since this is a Dvar Isser, since it's Chametz, it becomes Muktza Machmas Isser. We know from the Gemara in Shabbos that Muktza Machmas Isser is Asur to be Metaltel on Shabbos, or on Yontif. Therefore, he has to Kaifa Alav Esakali, and after, on Cholamayid, that's when he burns it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Hayoytzei B'shiyara Kaidim Shleishim Yoyim, Ein Zakuk Levar. If a person goes on a trip before 30 days before Pesach, he does not have to make beer. Taich Shleishim Yoyim, Zakuk Levar. If he goes out the city within 30 days before Pesach, then he does have to make beer. And here we have a machlekes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye says, if he goes within 30 days, you only need beer if you're going to be returning on Pesach. Rava says, before 30 days, you're only potter if you won't be returning on Pesach. But if you go within 30 days, you have to make a beer, irregardless of the situation. Today we paskin, within 30 days, you are mechuyev to make a bedika. The aside here is that the mitzvah of Tashbisu is chal from within 30 days of Pesach and closer. Now, there is an exception to this. Even if you leave, let's say, 200 days before Pesach, However, if you know you're going to come back on Pesach, it doesn't matter when you leave. The fact of the matter is, if you know you're going to return on Pesach, you have to make a bedika and a beer even way, way, way before Pesach, if you know you're going to be returning to your particular house on Pesach. Now, what's the significance of 30 days? We have a braisa that we bring down a machlekes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. According to the Tanakama, we say, Shayalin v'darshin v'hilchas ha-Pesach, kaidem ha-Pesach shleishim yoyim. The Tanakama learns that you're mechuyev to be dairish of the hilchas Pesach. In other words, this is where the whole idea of checking before 30 days comes from. And he learns this from Pesach Sheni. We know that we have a tzivoy. The tzivoy of Pesach Sheni came on Yudala Nisan for a chiyev 30 days later on Pesach Sheni. However, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Shayalin v'darshin, the chiyev only comes 2 weeks before Pesach. How does he know this? Because the mitzvah of Karban Pesach was announced on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was 2 weeks before Pesach. We see this in Bamidbar, Perek Tes. That's where the chiyev came from. And it came on Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, it was 2 weeks before. Therefore, the chiyev of Shailin Vidarshin is only 2 weeks before. And therefore, this Indian of 30 days doesn't apply. But it's only a question of 2 weeks. It's interesting that the Mishnah Brura in Simen Tof Chaf Tes brings a whole drasha here and a whole discussion of whether this chiyev of 30 days also applies to other yamim tayvim, especially shvuas, for example. Then we say, Ein muktam u'me'uchar batayra. Rav Papa says this. There is really no rhyme or reason necessarily to the order of how things are brought in the Torah. And the Gemara says this is only true if we're talking about two different parshias. However, if there are two inyanim in one particular parsha, then we say that it is in the correct order, and we do not say Ein muktam u'me'uchar batayra. What you see is exactly what you get in the right particular order. This is true, since if we would say Ein muktam u'me'uchar batayra even within the same parsha, then we may have shailos and halacha, because what happens with a klal uprat? We know we paskin certain halachas due to a klal, and then a prat comes along and is coming to be mamayit from the klal. But now if you change the order around, this klal uprat becomes a prat uklal, and there are different nafkaminas and halacha between a klal uprat and a prat uklal. Therefore we say within a particular parsha, we do not say in muktam u'me'uchar batayra. Amar Yehuda al-Marav, Habaydek tzarech sheyivatel. Now, why is it that a person who does bedika also has to make bittul too? Why is it that you need both of these? Amar Rava, Gzera Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa V'day Teyla. We're afraid that maybe a person is going to find a nice hush of a piece of bread. He's going to have a desire to eat this piece of bread or to keep this piece of bread because it's a very nice piece of bread. And he'll come to be over on the Isser of Bal Yiraya, Bal Yimatza. The Amar Rebbe Lazar, and we say Rebbe Lazar says two halachas. Shtei Devarim, he says one halacha, which includes two things. Shnei devarim einan v'rshusay shel adam, v'asan hakasav ki'ilu v'rshusay. There are two items which are not in the rishus of a person, but we say, min ha-taira, it's considered like they are in his rishus as far as responsibilities go. What are those two things? The eluhein, bar v'rshus harabim, v'chametz mishay shaos ulamayla. Bar v'rshus harabim, if a person digs a bar in a rishus harabim, even though the rishus harabim doesn't belong to him, the fact is if somebody gets hurt in that bar, he's mechoyev. And chametz from 6 hours and on, even though a person really doesn't belong to him. But the fact of the matter is, it's considered as if it does belong to him. Daf Zayin. There is an Issur d'Rabbanan that the 6th hour is considered just like what is past the 6 hours. This is d'Rabbanan. We know mid'araisa, the Issur achila and hana on chametz is only from chatzais and on, from 6 hours and afterwards. However, there's an Issur d'Rabbanan, even before that, there is an Issur. What does this constitute exactly, this particular Issur d'Rabbanan? What this is included in, a person is mechuyev, and a person is not allowed to get hana from chametz in that 6th hour, mid'Rabbanan. And not only that, a person now has no reshus on his chametz anymore. In other words, he can't be mevatelin anymore at all from that point and on. Mid'Araisa from chatzais, and mid'Rabbanan even before chatzais. So in other words, what it comes down to is this particular Rabbanan time is equal to a d'Araisa. How do we know this? We see that if a man is Makadish, a woman, with Chite Kurdenaisa, in the 6th hour, which is Midrabanan Asr, it's not considered a good Kedusha. And the Gemara says if we find money in Yerushalayim during the Zman Aliyah Leregel, since they used to clean the streets of Yerushalayim every day, you can assume that the money is fresh, and therefore it is Maiser Sheni money. We then say HaBoidek Tzarech Sheyivarech. A person who makes a Bedika has to make a Bracha on the bedika, but a special bracha. What exactly is the bracha that he makes when he does the bedika? There's a machlek. Rav Papi Meshmei Adirava says he makes the bracha of Levayer Chametz. And Rav Papa Shmei Adirava says he makes the bracha Albir Chametz. The machlokes here is if al bir implies past or future. We know that a bracha a person has to make to imply the future. The question is if al bir can imply the future, or maybe it only implies the past. And the Gemara tries bringing a number of different rayas about things that are brachas that are made in advance of something, and they're speaking about the future. Al hashchit, al hamila. The Hilchasam, we paskin, that we make the bracha, asher kedushanam b'mitzvayitza b'tzivanu, al bir chametz, and not levayer chametz. Here we have an interesting me'iri that asks, why is it that we make al bir chametz at the time of the bedika? Why don't we make the bracha at the time of the bir itself? And the me'iri answers that the bracha is made at the time of the bedika because this is considered to be the beginning of the burning process. The reason that one may begin to make this bracha on the night of the 14th of Nisan, at this particular point, is because at that time, there is already an obligation to begin burning the chametz. Let's say one searches for the chametz before the 14th, in other words, bizman hazeh. Let's say a person is living in one city, and he's going to visit, say, his parents in another city, and he leaves a week before Pesach. Since a week before Pesach, the chiyuv, the obligation to burn chametz is not chal yet, he does not make a bracha at all at that time, but a person can only make a bracha, al bir chametz, beginning on the night of Erev Pesach. Then we ask an interesting question. The Rosh actually asked us, why is it that we don't make a bracha shachiyanu at the time we do bidikas chametz? So we answer, since the search is considered to be part of the preparation for Pesach, the shachiyanu for this search is subsumed under the one that he makes on Yontif itself. And this would also explain why one who makes a sukkah, or puts together the arba minim, does not make a shachiyanu either. Now the Magen Avram says that while the Gemara in sukkah, Daf Membav, mentions that a shachiyanu is recited when a person builds a sukkah, our minig is not to recite this until Yontif itself. The Rush, however, agrees that one would be permitted if he wants to recite the shachiyanu when he builds the sukkah. So the same thing would apply here. The Rush would agree that if one wants to, he can make a shachiyanu when he makes the bedikas chametz. Then we say that the bracha must be said before the maisa hamitzvah. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol hamitzvahis mevarech alehen oiver le'asiyosan. A person is mechuyav to make the bracha before doing the mitzvah and not after doing the mitzvah. The only exception to this is tefilas ger. By tefilas ger we say, but since the ger cannot say asher kedushanam b'mitzvayisav vitzivanu, he wasn't mitzuv in it, therefore he makes the bracha afterwards. Once we said though that he makes the bracha, we said alay plug, that all tefilas do not make the bracha till afterwards. Rashi explains that this extends to all things. Now, what's the logic behind this? Beforehand, he can't make the bracha because of vitzivanu. Not only that, because he may change his mind before he makes the tefillah. While a person is in the mikveh, he cannot make a bracha because libay raya es ha'erva. Therefore, according to Tosfos, he mentions that the only time a person can make the bracha is afterwards. Now, today there are two other cases where we make the bracha afterwards, and we do not say mevarech alehen oiver la'asiyasan. These two cases are netilas yadayim and hadlakas neiros shel Shabbos. Netilas yadayim, we make the bracha afterwards because a person's hands may not be clean before he actually washes them. And hadlakas neiros, we say this, that we make the bracha afterwards. That only applies to women, because what happens is, if a woman would first make the bracha, at the minute she makes the bracha, Shabbos is already chal. Therefore, she wouldn't be allowed to light anymore. Therefore, we say that first she lights the candles, then she makes the bracha, even not over las yasa. However, the minig today is, although a woman does it this way, if a man, for example, ends up lighting hadlokas neiros, a man would do it the other way around. A man would do it over las yasa. So therefore, if a man lights candles erev Shabbos, first he makes the bracha, then he lights the candles. Hashem can a woman first lights the candles, and then makes the bracha. The Gemara then says that it's best to use candles for bedikas chametz. And it mentions the number of makairos for this. The Gemara also says that Or HaChama and Or Levana are not good for bedikas chametz, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Magen Avram that even if you do bedika next to a window using a sunlight, using a light from the sun, this is also no good. Tafches. We say that Avuka, a torch for Havdalah, is mitzvah min amufchar. It's even better to use a torch for Havdalah than to use a candle. Mashenkin by bedika. Bedika is only good with a candle. It is not good to do a bedika with a torch, and the reason for this is very simple. Because with a candle, you're able to see in the little crevices, to be able to see if there's little chametz pieces. Mashen came with a torch. It would be very hard to be able to do that. We then learn, Lama tzadikim daimin bifnei shechina. to what are the righteous comparable in the presence of the Shechina? The Gemara says, Kiner bifnei havuka, like a candle before a torch. Although tzaddikim are very, very chashuv, but compared to the Shechina, they're very, very small. The Baal Shem Tov learned from this Gemara the real godless in tzaddikim, their ability to control their yetzer hara compared to the way normal people struggle with their yetzer hara. And the comparison is as follows. Just as a candle is barely noticeable next to a torch, so too does the yetzer hara of tzaddikim barely affect what tzaddikim end up doing. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn in the Gemara areas that don't need a bedika. This includes holes near the ceiling and the floor, slanted roofs, tops of chests, chicken coops, and storage rooms for straw, wine, and oil. Unless, of course, he normally goes to these places in the middle of a meal to get wine. Then he may come to drop some bread there, and then those places need a bedika anyway. We then say that shemen yesh kvala achila. Shemen is something which has a kvala achila. Yain ain kvala shtia. Shemen, there are special times when you go to get shemen. Yain, there are no special times. In other words, it's unpredictable when he might go to get yain. Therefore, we have to worry more in areas where we store wine that chametz may have gotten into that area. We then say that if a wall falls on chametz, it's possible that a person has to go check underneath the wall, stick his hand in to see and to be able to find this particular chametz that got stuck under this wall. So the Gemara asks, how can we force a person to put his hand into a hole in a wall? There's a potential sakana. He may be bitten by a snake that's underneath that wall. Amar Rabbi Lazar, impossible. Shliach mitzvah ein nizakin. A person can't get bitten by a snake. Why? Because a person is in the middle of doing a mitzvah b'dikas chametz. Therefore, it's like he's a shliach mitzvah. Therefore, he cannot be hurt at all during the situation while he is the shliach mitzvah. The Sefer Taimi Habin Hagim brings from here the minag of giving shliach mitzvah money to someone who is traveling. And the reason we do this is because if a person is a shliach for someone else to take tzedakah, say for example from Eretz Yisrael to the United States, nothing will happen to them because they're a shliach mitzvah on their entire trip until they get to the United States and they put the money in a tzedakah box. I can still remember a number of years ago, probably the single biggest shliach mitzvah that I was ever involved in was I was in Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of December in one year, which is a very, very slow tourist season. And as typically I usually do, and as a lot of people do when they're in Eretz Yisrael, they put up a sign somewhere, you know, or they mention to people that are going back to the United States if someone wants to send letters. At the beginning of December, there are very few people going back to the United States. When I put up a sign in the Mir Yeshiva in Me'er Sharim, announcing that I was going back in 3 days, dropped the mail and, you know, room number, blank and blank, I took a very large pile of mail. And I remember on the plane back to the United States, I counted 650 pieces of mail. So I felt very, very safe on the plane ride home, knowing that I was a shliach mitzvah probably for a good few hundred people. Probably from this Gemara and a related Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Vav, we could probably bring a raya from there that not only is shliach mitzvah ein nizakin, but probably ha'oisek the mitzvah ein nizakin. We know this from the case of the kala brought in that Gemara. There was a kala who was getting ready for a wedding, and so were a lot of other people, and an ani came to the door. We know that she was saved from a snake that was about to bite her that was in the wall. She went to tend to this ani, to give the ani tzedakah. And the Gemara says over there, tzedakah tatzil mimavas. But I think from there you can bring a raya, isik b'mitzvah ein anizakin, because she was being isik in the mitzvah of tzedakah, nothing happened to her either. The Gemara then says, shluchei mitzvah, this whole inyan of shluchei mitzvah ein anizakin, does not apply if he had kavana for other benefits too. In other words, if a person put his hand in to do bedikas chametz and also to find a needle, he's not necessarily protected because he was in the midst of doing something else also. So the Gemara asks, "I we know how Omer sala zu l'tzdaka b'shvil sheyichya b'ni aisha eheya ben olam haba harehu tzadik omer." If a person gives something for tzdaka, but not for the explicit purpose of tzdaka, but rather that his son should live for a long time, or that he should become an olam haba, that's the only reason he does it. In other words, part of it is for tzdaka, but part of it is for the reward. He's considered a tzadik omer. So what do you see? You see, you can mix business and pleasure. So why are we saying over here that just because he wants to find the needle too, if he happens to be doing a bedika, he's not necessarily protected because he's also looking for the needle? So the Gemara answer is, what we're really afraid of is not that during the time of the bedika he's looking for the needle, but we're afraid that after the bedika he'll stick his hand back in to get the needle. At that point already he's not protected anymore because he finished the bedika. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak says that a person doesn't have to stick his hand into a wall because of sakana, Nachrim. We're afraid of the Nachrim on the other side of the wall that may come to kill him or to hurt him. Like Plame said, no bedika at all is needed in a case we're afraid of a sakana of nachra. We then say that the schus of shluchei mitzvah does not apply if the situation is a very dangerous one, where people usually get hurt. In other words, a situation of shchiach hezeka. However, we say, once you get the schus for going on your way to do the shliach mitzvah, you're also protected on the return trip. In other words, if you go to the yeshiva to learn, on your way home, you're also protected at night, because you're on your way home from learning. Or, for example, your house, while you're going to make aliyah l'regel on your return trip back, during that period of time, not only are you protected, your house is also protected from listim. We see this from the pasuk of Ufanisa Baboiker, V'halachta aliyah helecha. As a person returns in the morning from after the aliyah l'regel, everything is also protected. He's protected, and what's in his rishus is protected. Amar Rabami, call Adam Shalit Yeshlai Karka, aliyah l'regel. Any person who owns karka, he's explaining the parameters of the chiyuv of aliyah l'regel. If a person owns karka, he's mechuyuv to make aliyah l'regel. But if he does not own karka, he's not mechuyuv in aliyah l'regel. This, interestingly enough, Pshat of Ravami is not found at all in the Masechta Chagiga, and also the Rambam does not bring it down l'halacha either. Amar Rabbi Chizda, mipnei ma ein peris genoisar archame tveria birushalayim. How come peris genoisar, which are found in the Galil, or the chame tveria, are not found in Yerushalayim? The Gemara answers, kedei shlo yomru Oile regalim il mole loyalinu elaperis leperis genoiser oichame tveria virushalayim dayenu. We were afraid that people would say, hey, you know what? I'm going up to Yerushalayim. I went for aliyah l'regel, but if all I went for was just to get the benefit of chame Yerushalayim, quote unquote, so to say, that would have been enough. Dayenu, that would have been fine too. What would come out? Nimtzis aliyah l'regel shelo lishma. We were afraid it would end up that aliyah l'regel would not be lishma. Therefore, there is no Peres Genoiser, and there's no Chametz Feria in Yerushalayim. Then the Gemara goes into a detailed explanation of part of the Mishnah that said, Ubame Amru Beis Shuras Al Penei HaMartef, the Machloikis, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about which parts of the Martef do we actually have to check. And we end up paskening, according to Beis Hillel, Lefi the Shita of Shmuel here in this Gemara, that Beis Hillel requires the two outermost columns of the uppermost row to be searched. Daftes. We have a Mishnah that says, Ein Chayshishin Shema Girura Chulda Mibayis Labayis. After the Bedika has already happened, we're not Chayshish that maybe a Chulda, maybe a weasel is going to go from one house to the other and bring in Chametz, or Michatz L'Chatzer. Why? Mishum Ein L'Davar Saif. Because if we're going to be worried about this, Ein L'Davar Saif. I mean, you could go on and on and on worrying about what if this and what if that. Therefore, we don't have to be Chayshish for that. The Gemara then says, this is only true if you didn't mamish see a weasel. So you don't sit back and worry, what if a weasel went in or a weasel didn't go in. However, if you actually saw a weasel with chametz in his mouth, then you are mechuyev to make a new bedika. So the Gemara asks, why don't we assume that he ate it? Just in the same way he took it, maybe he ate it also. So we say that there's a machlokes if a goy can be metame ba'il. If a goy is nifter, we want to know, can a goy be metame ba'il or not? So the Rabbanan say, yes, a goy could be metame ba'il. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, he can't. However, he can be metame b'maga u'b'masa. And since goyim used to bury premature babies in the house, mamish, right underneath the house, we assume that the house of a guy is tameh, unless there is a chulda or a chazir in the house. If there's a chulda and a chazir, we assume that the chulda or a chazir would have eaten it up. And we learned this from Masechta Eilis. So here too, let's assume that the chulda ate the chametz also. So we answer, this is different. Why? Because meat, a chulda, never leaves over. But bread, a chulda, does leave over sometimes. Also we say here, in this particular case of chametz, we have a case of Ein Safik Maitzim Yidei Vadei. The Safik here is whether the Chulda ate it or not. And the Vadei here is whether there was Chametz. We know that there was Chametz. The question is whether he ate it or not. So Ein Safik Maitzim Yidei Vadei. However, in the case of Reb Chanina, we say Chazaka Al Chaver She'ein Maitzim Tachas Yadai Davar She'ein Amesukin. We say that a Chaver who is Nifter, we can assume that he probably took off Meiser, because a Chaver, we assume, always takes off Meiser. So this is a case of Safik, which is Maitzim Yidei Safik. Therefore, if the chaver died, we can assume that he did take off Meiser. This is very different from the case before of Ein Safik Maitzim Yidei Vadei. We also discuss a case of a kayan who is involved in Tumas Mes for a relative. We know in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf, Taisvis Lishitase holds, that a kayan can only be metame Tumas Mes for a relative if it's a Tzarech HaMes, but not Stam. And there's a machlekes between Rashi and Taisvis over there. Taisvis holds that Tumas Krivim Legabi a kayan is considered a Dechuya. Really, it's Asar, but we pushed it off. We were Deiche, we pushed it off, especially for Krivim. Rashi holds Tumas Krivim for a Kayan is Hutra. there's no isur at all for a kohen by karev. Therefore, lechatchila, he could become tameh for a karev, and we don't have to worry about maybe it's lotzarech, maybe it's not lotzarech. Then the Gemara gets into details about potential chametz that may or may not be in a house. If we're chayshish for chametz in a house, do we need to do an additional bedika? And we bring down a number of different cases. First case we bring down are if there are 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and a mouse takes one of the piles, and we don't know which one he took. So the Gemara says this is the same case in Chul and Daf Tzadikei of 9 kosher meat stores and 1 store of its tripe. And a person doesn't remember. He knows he bought meat. He knows he bought meat. He doesn't remember which one he brought from. So we say that it's aser. Why? Because we say in that case, kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. Right now, it's a case of kavua, and you don't know where you bought it from. So we say it becomes like 50-50. Kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. Therefore, it becomes aser. We don't go basa raiv, and we go lachum. However, in a different kind of a case, let's say a pile was actually taken. There are 10 piles. A pile was taken, and we don't know which pile was taken. And then a mouse comes along and takes that pile. In that case, we say lakula, because that's like a case of kol deparish meruba parish. It's like a case by the 9 stores, but a person didn't remember whether he wasn't sure whether he took it from this store or that store. Rather, we found a piece of meat in the street. We know in that particular area there's 10 stores. 9 of them are kosher, and 1 of them is treif. Since 9 of them are kosher, 1 of them is treif. Since it's parish, since the piece of meat is already parish from all the stores, then we say lakula, kol deparish meruba parish. So the same thing here with the case of the mouse. However, here Tosfos asks a question. How can we compare Bedikas chametz, which is midrabanan, to the case of nevela, which is midaraisa? 2 different cases. 1 is midrabanan, 1 is midaraisa. How can you make a comparison or bring a raya one to the other? So Taisvis answers, the Gemara's question didn't concern whether the house has to be searched or not, which is a dirabanan, but rather on Pesach, this food which is now found in the house, whether you can eat that or not. Then already it becomes a midaraisa, so you can make a comparison between 2 cases which are both midaraisa. Dafyut. The Gemara brings down numerous cases of Safek, both Daraisa and Derabanan. For example, we bring a case. If there is a road that is Tahar, and a road which is Tameh, and one man walked one and the other walked the other, and they don't recall who walked where, then they touched Taharis. Rabbi Yehuda says if they asked independently, both of them are Tahar. If they ask the same person, both are Tameh. Rabbi Yossi says they're always Tameh. The Miri brings down, we see from this Gemara, that one Safek Derabanan is equal to a Svek Sveka Daraisa. We then have a Machlaikas. What if you put down 9 pieces of Chametz and you find 10? Or vice versa. Then the Gemara says if a mouse went in and you find crumbs in the house, then you have to make another Bedika. Why? Since it's not the Derech of a mouse to leave crumbs. You have to assume that those crumbs were there from before. Hashem came by a baby. By a baby, if the baby went in, you don't need to check. You don't need to make another bedika. Why? Because it's probably his own chametz that he brought in. Let's say you have bread up in the beams of a house. Does one need to take a ladder in order to remove it? The tzadim here are very simple. On one hand, you don't really want to bother him, since he already made a bittel. And since it's all the way up there, he's not going to go up and get it on Yontif, on Pesach. Or maybe it's going to fall down, so we're afraid. If it'll fall down, then he'll want to eat it. Dimtim tzalamer, we want to be machmer, so how about bread in a pit? For sure, bread in a pit cannot fall up. In other words, gravity can only have something fall downward, but the bread is not going to come up from the pit. Dintim slimer, and we say, let's say we are machber. Since he may go down to the pit, what if there's bread in the mouth of a snake? Is he mechuyev to hire a snake expert to get it out? So in all these cases, the Gemara says teiku. The Ritva, along with other Mishainim, bring down that we generally paskin like in Imtim slimer brought down in a Gemara. However, here the Machaber says that in the first case, the case of the beams, we paskin lahachmer. And in the second case of the pit, we paskin lakula. But we say that that's only true, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if a person doesn't normally go down to the pit. But if he normally goes down to the pit, then we have to be machmer. We then have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, one has 3 chances to do the bedikah. He could do it at night, he could do it in the morning of Erev Pesach, he could do it in the Shas beer, but he cannot do it any later. The Chachamim say, he has 4 choices. He can do it at night, he can do it during the day, he can do it Toich HaMayid in the 6th hour, or he can do it Achar HaMayid. This is Lekula. In other words, he could do it all the way till the end of Erev Pesach, but of course he can't do it on Pesach Mamish. The Chachamim go Lekula because they're not afraid that he'll find it and eat it by accident. Rabbi Yehuda is Lahachmer because he's afraid that you don't want to do it later in the day, because we're afraid you might find it and come to eat it.